Thank you, Ms. Crockett. You certainly have enticed me to look more into this legislation and want to visit the Gila River area. And so thank you for being part of this testimony today. Again, we're waiting members to return from votes, and fortunate for me, I was high on the list anyway, so I'm going to go and ask my questions. I'm going to start, if I could, with first a fire picture as I talk about our state. This is a picture from Yakima, Washington, but we are at over 600,000 acres burned, with 300,000 of those acres burning in just one day. This isn't a new story to us. We obviously have been through this very intense fire years for several years in a row. And as Senator Feinstein started talking about what's going on in California today, when people start saying this is the biggest fire ever in the history of our state, that's where we were several years ago. So that's what's happening, record fire seasons. The second chart I'd like to put up, because in response to these, we have passed new fire legislation and obviously trying to give the Forest Service, Vicki Christensen, and you, Deputy French, the tools that you need to help fight the fires. And one of the things that we did was give the tools of smoke forecasters. Why did we do this? Well, we knew that the fire season was going to bring these very daunting health situations. So as you can see on this color-coded map of Puget Sound here, we might want to bring it a teeny bit closer, but these colors are showing us, and this is the help of getting this forecast information, that you can see these very deep colors of red and are purple and very dark colors are showing that you either have a big part of Puget Sound and a big part of our state and on into Oregon and a little bit into Idaho, either very, basically either unhealthy, very unhealthy, or hazardous. So basically, all of this area there in the purplish color is basically unacceptable health risks with smoke. So I wanted to ask you, Deputy French, how has this helped us in understanding the risk of the fire season and giving us information with these forecasters to communicate to the public and to the firefighting community what we need to do to take care during this process?
Thank you, Senator. It's been a great help. The Department of Agriculture and Department of Interior have been using many of the aspects that came out of the law to really focus on how we use technology differently. So you talked about one. In terms of air quality, what sort of changes do we need to make in terms of movements of people? Where do we need to put resources? Those sorts of things. We've also been working very much on ground-based image technology to understand where we're seeing shifts and changes in fires and where to put resources associated with that. We have an RC-26 aircraft that has a distributed real-time infrared capability that's from the 141st Air Refueling Wing up in the Washington Air National Guard. And that's been deployed in support of wildland fire operation to provide a number of these services. We're on track right now for awarding a contract for location services wildland firefighters. And we're also using some of the technology advances for our smoke jumpers to be able to drop things into areas more precisely than we've done before. And all that has come out of the focus that came from the passage of that bill.
Well, that's great to hear, because yeah, we felt like we needed more data. I don't think anybody in Puget Sound's confused when they look outside. They don't think it's healthy. But what this really has done is help us with the information about the level of severity of the smoke, yep, is what you're saying, and then helping us move the resources in the right places based on that information.
And it helps us understand the effects as well. I think we all knew, I mean, we saw the smoke in the air, but we didn't know necessarily where the intensity was and that sort of thing. So it's all around, it's helped us both in the thinking about where we need to do preventative work, but also how to manage things once some of the fires begin.
Well, where can we take this going forward? Because I certainly believe on the prescribed burn side, you know, we were a fan of changing it. People said, oh, you can't change this from a seasonal perspective. People don't want to have smoke in March. Well, I guarantee you, on a prescribed burn, they'd rather have smoke in March than right, a whole week or a whole month of forecast smoke. So how can this now help us have a regional conversation about prescribed burn and things like the Pine Pilot that were basically, you know, now more of a global discussion about how to use those tools.
Yeah, thank you. So I think people are understanding that in these fire-prone forests, that the one of the main things we need to do as part of our active management is bring in more prescribed fire, reintroduce fire into these places. And if we can have the predictive services to understand what the smoke impacts will be, we can educate folks, we can make changes to how we're doing things, pick the right times of year to do that, and get that work done more effectively. That's the part of it I think that's been most exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, and so basically you're saying predictive services like these that we put into previous fire bills now can help us target prescribed burns. And then to the ranking member's comment about 5,000 firefighters needed right now, do you agree with that number?
You know, honestly, I don't know what the exact number would be. I can tell you that we have more than 31,000 firefighters deployed right now. We've had a pretty sustained effort in the interagency response through the entire year. And even with COVID, we were managing that very well. This last week's have really shown, though, the stresses in the system. But I don't know the exact number.
Well, I see the chairman has returned. I appreciate it. I thank you for your testimony. I would say I hope that we all will look for more support of firefighting with the range protection organizations, with international countries who haven't helped us. And we need to be aggressive.